Word of God this morning. I want to read something, first of all, that's I've written in my Bible. I love quotes. Quotes that have stood out in my life, I feel them in my Bible so I don't forget. And as they were singing, Brother Tim, I opened to this quote of the Christian. The Christian, he has his best things last. Harsh plowing yields a joyful harvest. The Christian grows rich by his losses. He rises by his falls. He lives by dying. He becomes full by being emptied. Grievous afflictions yield him so much peaceable fruit in his life. When he's weak, then he becomes strong. I want to go this morning to the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 5. Last week we looked at a notable soldier, the memorable centurion. We'll look at another notable soldier this morning with some parallels in his lives that I think we all can relate to this morning. And I've never preached this passage in this light. If you'd turn me up a little bit, Brother Chris. 2 Kings chapter number 5. 2 Kings 5. The Bible says, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, he was a great man with his master. He is honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. The Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." One went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." He departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, 10 changes of raiment. One of the writers said he brought with him $100,000 for his cure. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is coming to you, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." It came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter, he rent his clothes, and this is what he said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive?" I'm glad that king knowed his place, amen. "That this man doeth send to me to recover a man of his leprosy." He said, "Who does he think I am? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeks a quarrel against me." And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses, his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan. 7 times and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake to him and said, "My father the prophet had bid them do some great thing. Wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he said to thee, 'Wash and be clean'? Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. He returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, 'Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant.'" You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing, honoring the reading of the Word of God. Father, we love you. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. I thank you for this time together today. I pray now you'd bring to my heart the things that I've studied through the night and this morning. I pray, oh God, you'd use me to be a blessing to the people of God. Would you bring thoughts out of this Scripture today, God, that we may apply it to our lives and homes and hearts. I pray, oh Holy Ghost, that you would teach me in these days to magnify and uplift the precious Son of God in preaching. Help me, because I'm a needy preacher today. I pray for our church. I pray for one that'd be here lost. I thank you for these children that have come today. Parents that have brought them, I thank you for that. What a blessing they've been to our hearts and our lives. Now I pray you'd help us. Let preaching be easy today. And I'll be careful to give you the right of way and the honor and the glory for it all. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen. And amen. I want to preach this morning from this Bible passage of 2 Kings chapter 5 on "There is a remedy." There is a remedy. Now, there are seem to be several thrusts in this passage. There's one that is really raring and raised in my heart this morning, but by the way of preaching, I want to say, first of all, in this text, notice there was a leprous man. The Bible said his name was Naaman. He was captain of the host of the king of Syria. He was a great man with his master. They was a great team together. He is honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance to Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Now this leprous man, you'll notice first of all, in verse 1 we notice position. He was captain. He was man of great authority in the nation of Syria. Here, Syria had always been an enemy of Israel. And here, Naaman simply had worked for the king of Syria. He was in his top command. He was captain of the host. He was a fighting man. We see his position as captain. But then secondly, we see his preference. He was a great man to his master. Nobody stands alone. Everybody needs good people around them. And the Bible says he was a great man with his master. There's never been a one-man show. The reason a lot of men are successful is because of the other people around them and their surroundings. Now, he was a great man with his master. Thank God for those that people put together, that they can work together and do great things in the kingdom. But then, this leprous man and his position, this leprous man and his preference, but notice this leprous man and his praise. Verse number 1, the Bible teaches us that he was an honorable man. This man had great character. This man had a lot of praise. When this man came out on the stage, people stood. People knew about this man Naaman all across Syria, for he was second to the king. He was captain of the host. He was a man that was arrayed in many medals of battle. And no doubt did he have experience, but he had the medals to prove he was experienced, for he was a great honorable man. Not only his praise, but his performance in verse 1. He was a mighty man of valor. God had used him to bring great victories. You say, how do you know God helped him? The Bible says, by him the Lord had given. You may be surprised who God has helped in your life. And so we see his performance, his promotions. He was a mighty man of valor. But did you note this in the reading of the Word of God in verse number 1? And the Lord has spoke volumes to my heart about this phrase. The Bible says he was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Not only his performance, not only his promotion, but look now at his problem. This word but is inserted. Here's a drawback in life. I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not, but this but made him in a life of dark and gloominess and a unbearableness. Have you ever noticed in your life everything is great about your job, but? Have you ever noticed you got a great family, but? You ever notice that you got a great career, but? You ever notice about how good you're doing, but? You know the but ends in life that God allows. It always teaches us that there's nobody that's going to be fully satisfied in this whole world. For this world does not bring satisfaction. This world does not bring peace. Oh, honey, this world may bring prosperity, but silver and gold's going to be gone away one day. And only the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can bring peace that passes all. All understanding. His problem, but he was a leper. And we want to throw things at him and realize that this thing of leprosy is a type of sin. But I'll remind you, in every life sitting on this pew, there's been a butt in that's knocked the shine off of the shine. You ever got a hold of something and thought, man, if I can get that, I'll be so happy. But happened. You ever thought about, man, if I can get there and everything would be great. But. That I'll let us all know this morning. Maybe we're looking for peace and joy in all the wrong places. And you know, I want to say something else too. I've noticed this in pastoring people and in my own life. Even those buddies in life, you don't need to focus so much on that but, on that interference that God's put in your life. What about the things that are right? The devil would have you to major on the things that are wrong. But what about the things that are right? And you can give God all the honor and the glory for it. And say, God, without you, I'd be in hell this morning. But you've been so good to me. And I thank you, Lord, that everything is good as it is this morning. A lot of people, when they have a buddy and they major on that buddy. Let me tell you something. God has a purpose. That he knocks the shine off of everything in this world. Somebody said, well, I'm saved, but I'm not having much heaven here. Honey, that's Bible today. Heaven's not here. Heaven's there. We're strangers and pilgrims going on a journey. Thank God this ain't my home. But I'm thankful for some things I can enjoy here and now this morning. But he was a leper. Could you imagine this man and his profile? Could you imagine when this man walked in the building, he was so decorated, how people would be in awe at him? But I like what the writer said, the lowest slave in Syria would not trade places with Naaman. You know, you see people living in a nice place, in a nice car, you may not know what's behind the steering wheel. The man with the shining brass armor, I tell you what he's got looking back at him is dull metal on the inside. So many times we think, boy, look at this one or that one. I wish I was there. But I'll guarantee you, you've got a butt that is interrupted in your life, and so do they. But Naaman was a leper. You know, we got a saying in Georgia, I declare. That's sort of like I be Johnny. I'll be glad when we find Johnny. Amen. But I declare, I thought sure once I could get into that corporate world and hit that goal, that everything would be pretty smooth. But Brother Mike, I thought as I'd become an older man, Brother David, a seasoned preacher, things would ease up. But my dad-in-law was nearly 80 years old. He told me one day in a pine. He said, Ken, he's in heaven this morning. He said, Ken, he said, I thought sure the older I'd get, the easier life would get, but the harder life becomes. Don't major on the buts. Major on the blessing. What you do got. By the grace of God, what we do have. But now there was a leprous man, but not watch your Bible. I'm going to get back to him in a minute. There was a little maid. We notice this little maid, she has been stolen away from her homeland in Israel. The Syrians had went in and raided her parents' home and had taken her away, took her back over into Syria and put her in Naaman's house. Now she's a servant to Naaman's wife. We see this little maid. We see her facts in verse 2. She was brought away. That must have been a very sad time when that child left mom and daddy going to a place that she didn't know. We see her facts. We see her fix in verse 2. The Bible said it had brought away captive. This little girl was held at her will. They would not let her return home. So this little maid, her facts, her fix, but look at her frame in verse 2. She was a little maid. Aren't you glad that God uses the little things in life? People's always wanting to see the big things, but I found out in this Bible, God uses little things to become big things. You preachers now, as you're coming up and learning, you teachers, those in leaderships, right now, if you cannot learn to be led, therefore you can never learn to lead. And so it's the little things that God looks at that amounts to big things. If you're obedient in little things, God will entrust you to be obedient with big things. If you'll give to the little things, God will entrust you to get in on the big thing. The little maid. Now, as our children were up singing today, what a blessing that these people are to the church this morning. Simply her frame. A little mess. You know, you'd be amazed, young people, what God could do with you in a dark place. I liked what one of the scholars said, and I'll move on in preaching, but it said that the children of Israel, where she was captured from, they were all taught about the prophets and the Old Testament. They knew about the God of the Bible. I wish we would teach our children that way. When she was taken out of her homeland and put in a strange land, you know what surfaced up in her little heart? I know a man back yonder that can. I've sat around in services and I've seen God do great things over there. The God of Israel can do big things for Naaman. So we see a leprous man. We see this little maid, her facts, her fix, her frame, but her faith in verse 3 simply said, "Would God my Lord were with the prophets in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Now, no doubt she is speaking of Elijah. As Elisha, the great man of God, she had heard Elisha do great things with his God and by his God. But now I want to get back to this leprous man. And you may think it's strange to some of you today what unfolds in this great passage of Scripture. But I want you to notice and bring it down into where we live and in our hearts this morning. And watch this third point. Not only this leprous man and this little maid, but I want you to see now this loud message. A loud message. Now, we pick this story up in verse number 9. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot. He had heard the little maid speak about this prophet. He had went to the king of Israel by his king. And the king of Israel was so wise. He said, "Look, I can run things, but I can't do nothing. There's a prophet down yonder that knows God. God's done some amazing things with this old man." He said, "If you'll just go down there to his house," said, "you can find help down there. I'm preaching on there is a remedy this morning." So Naaman gets all of his folks together and they parade out of Israel. And look what they do. They go down to Elisha's house. The Bible says, so in verse 9, Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times. A loud message. "And thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth. Went away and said, "Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." Now, watch this loud message. In verse 9, there's a proven preacher. You know, people may talk about men of God that's in the old way, but they do know where to go to get help from, Brother Mike. They may be straight, narrow-minded, and they might not be hooked into that contemporary crowd, but honey, when the rubber meets the road, they know where they've seen God move at. There was a proved preacher, Elisha. What a preacher! Protege of Elijah. He had seen his daddy preacher do miracles by the hand of God. So we see in this loud message there was a proven preacher. Verse 9, there was a providential place. Look what he says. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him in verse 10 saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times. A providential place. Jordan is a very muddy river. Jordan is a place that it would be the last place that you would pick over the rivers of Syria. It's an ugly place. Can I remind you today that Calvary was not a pretty place? But can I tell you it was the providential place where God looked forward and seen His Son get on an old rugged cross and pay the sin debt for your sin and my sin. And honey, let me tell you what, God's message has not changed. We got to do it God's way and come God's way. Jordan. We see a proven preacher. We see a providential place. Then we see a personal description. This is what he said. Look what he says. It's going to get his attention. That's why I say it's a loud message. Go and wash. You know what he said? You're dirty. You need to be washed. You see, leprosy may not can be cured, but it can be cleansed. I'm glad this morning, this leprosy that we were all born with, named sin, might not can be cured. We all going to have problems with sin and flesh, but it can be cleansed. And only by Jordan. Now, watch your Bibles. This is where I want to highlight the second thought this morning. Not only when those divine interruptions are butting in, look at this next thought here about this loud message. There was a proven preacher. There was a providential place. There was a personal prescription. You go and wash. But look in verse 11. Look now at this passionate pride. This man Naaman was eat up with pride. You know what pride is? It's real short. I'm about done preaching. Just hang on with me this morning. You know what pride is? It's simply the idolatry of self. Pride is self-idolatry. I think a whole lot more of me than I do God. And that's where we are in a nation this morning as a whole. Pride is reeking. Look at me. Look at what I've done. Let me ask you something. If God didn't let you get out of bed Monday, what would you get done? If God didn't let you breathe His good air tonight, where would you be? Yes, we must apply ourselves and do the best we can, but honey, at the end of the day, God gets all the honor and the glory. He is a man filled with pride. You say, why do you think he was filled with pride? And I've heard a lot of people say this, well, look at that preacher. Now hang on with me. I've heard this, but it really, a light come on me last night. Now look at this preacher. A man come all the way down his house, and Brother Lee, he didn't even get up and go outside. He sent somebody else to go tell him. You know what that done to Naaman? That busted his bubble. He said, man, I'm Naaman. I thought you'd come out and get an autograph. I thought sure you'd come out and ask me to sign your Bible. He said, I'm Naaman. Look around here. I got all these hosts of horses and chariots. Look at all this gold on my wagon. Elisha said, I ain't for sale. There's one message. You can get cleansed down at Jordan, but you're going to have to go yourself. And it offended Naaman. He must have been Baptist to the core. Well, that preacher didn't come out. Y'all ever heard that? That preacher didn't come out. God might have used that to bust your bubble. It offended old Naaman. See what God was doing in the background? God was doing so much in the background of Naaman getting saved. God has done so much in the background of getting me and you saved. He put a little old girl down in Naaman's house that Naaman could hear from a far country. Naaman's king sent to the king of Israel, and that old king had enough sense, said, "Boy, I can't do this, but I know a man that can." And he sent him down to the prophet Elisha's house. And Elisha didn't even get up and go greet him on the porch. I bet that busted his bubble. That'd be like President Trump coming to Bowden. He'd hit the front porch. Everybody say, "Hey, preacher, Trump's on the porch." I say, "Praise God. Somebody pull the handle again. Amen." You see, by the way, I voted for him. I vote again for him. But I'm not going to bow down and kiss his feet. Boy, it's quiet today. You see, he said that preacher didn't even come out. No, but that preacher sent him a word what he needed to do. Now, what's he going to do with it? It busted his bubble. Matter of fact, look what happens when the old man of God hollered out of the house by the messenger and told him, "Go to Jordan and wash." This is what he said. He said, verse 11, "He'll surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place to cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel?" I want to say this. Beggars must not be choosers. People want to tell God how to do things. Are any of y'all guilty of that? Beggars can't be choosers. Let me tell you, God's not the beggar. This new day of evangelism has turned God into the beggar. God's not the beggar. We're the beggar. We need somebody to do something for us. You must humble yourself in order to find it. Look at me. Boy, Elisha busted his bubble, didn't he? I thought sure he'd come out, pat me on the head. Well, I figured he's going to put me on the church council. You got to get saved first. So, he does something. And I close this sermon with this. Not only the leprous man, the little maid, a loud message, but there's a lasting miracle. This is what they said. I want you to get this morning. Look in verse 13. We see Naaman's rage, but now look at Naaman's reasoning. And his servants came near and spake to him, and watch what they say to him. "My father, the prophet, had bid thee do some great thing. Wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he said to thee, 'Wash and be clean'?" You know what he said? He said, "Master, I want to reason with you a minute. You've come a long way with your leprosy. There's nobody that can take care of what you've got except one place. And that's following the instructions." Now, I want to ask y'all something this morning. As much as we love each other and we love family, and let's say that right now, today, if I had cancer and didn't know it, and many in our church have, and Brother Lee, if you called me and said, "I've got a written prescription that can cure you, but you're going to have to come and get it," you know what I'd do? I would be over there quick as I could get over there. Now, I want to ask y'all something. In order to be saved, you've got to do it God's way. You've got to be saved by grace through faith and come to Calvary's cross. Come God's way. Why won't you come God's way and be saved? We think it strange about Naaman, a man that had great leprosy, and he was trying to tell them how to fix him. Why don't you just listen to the instructions of the Bible and be saved? He said if you'd come, he'd receive. But you must humble yourself to come. So, they didn't take him into Jordan. He went into Jordan himself. Miss Sherry, if you'd come this morning. This lasting miracle, you'll notice this. Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like in the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. You see, this lasting miracle, it was challenging. It went against his pride. This Bible will go against all of our pride this morning. This miracle was changing. The Bible said his flesh became as a little child. This Bible says you must be born again. And became as a little child. This miracle was convincing. In verse 15, he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, "Behold, now I know." What a difference. Can I tell you, there's a remedy this morning. That's going down, listening to the commands of the Lord, and going down to an old muddy Jordan, at bloody Calvary where Christ hung and died for you. Go there by faith and believe. That's what he did. It took faith to do what he did, because he dipped himself 7 times. Could you imagine the 5th time when he came up? The 6th time, but honey, the 7th time when it came up. Can you imagine being in a church service with Naaman this morning? I want to ask you this out of your pastor's heart. This is what I believe with all my heart, what God's wanting to say to us this morning. And listen to me. The buts of life. God has allowed divine interruptions in your life. And you know what took care of his butt in? Was Jordan. You know what would take care of your divine interruption? Bringing it to Calvary. Saying, "God, I need help with this circumstance that has moved in my life, this divine interruption." You see, this miracle was challenging, changing, convincing. This miracle was claiming. He came back to Elisha, to his house. He said, "Elisha, I want to bring you something." And Elisha said, "I appreciate it. But you don't need to pay me for what you've got here this morning." Calvary does change. What has God allowed to butt into your life? Brother Mike, I read this quote, as I was sitting over there in the chair, and I marked it and I found it and I wanted to read it. I found it true in my life, and I'm done preaching. Brother Jamie, an old Puritan writer, wrote this, and he said this: "Everything that a man leans upon but God will be a dart that will certainly pierce his heart through and through. He who leans only upon Christ lives the highest and choicest, safest, and sweetest life." This morning you may be here, you've never been cleansed.